Dear God, we gathered here this morning in your presence. We thank you for your son, which is our chief organizer and our chief worshiper. And we thank you for all the good weather. And we ask all these blessings which we have accomplished this week in your son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, my brother. Thanks, Misty. Okay, so the Southern Baptist Convention, taking a closer look. Am I on here? Or you can just advance it. It's just a few slides. Go ahead and push it forward. While Matt's working the bugs out, I've got a handout. If we could maybe try to keep it to one family for a minute, and then if there's more, we can... I just need one. Thanks. Okay, there we go. Okay, so the Southern Baptist, what is the Southern Baptist Convention? It's not a denomination, but rather it's an association of cooperating churches to accomplish missions and ministry initiatives for the purpose of proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ to all people everywhere. So rather than, you know, when you think in terms of like maybe a Lutheran denomination or something like that, or a branch of the Presbyterian Church, maybe the Presbyterian Church of the United States, something like that. You think more in terms of a denomination where there's a hierarchy, there's people that are at the top that are sort of, you know, giving marching orders that sort of funnel on down to all the churches. The SBC is not like that. I mean, there's certainly, we could draw some analogies, but it's not like that in this terms. It's more of an association. It's more of a partnership among churches. In fact, the National Convention that meets each year, delegates from each church go, so it feels a little bit more like a legislative body, if you want to think in those terms, where each church can affect change in the Southern Baptist Convention by their presence at the meetings their persuasion at those meetings and things like that. So so you want to think, that's the first kind of thing I think is helpful if we think in terms of, it's not a denomination, okay, but rather we're simply saying we want to cooperate with some other churches to affect some ministry and missions objectives, okay? Can you move me one more? Oh, I've got it? Okay, I'm sorry, I didn't hear you say that. It is turned on. I'll use my head as an antenna. Look at that, it worked. Okay, all right. So what things would you cooperate with other churches for? So here are some big ones. We would cooperate for kingdom influence. What in the world is kingdom influence? I've gotten a bunch of ideas written down here. One way to influence the kingdom, that is our local representation of Jesus' kingdom here in this world, is to cooperate in church planting. So the Southern Baptist Convention has a division of it, and money's earmarked for church planting and church revitalizing. Church revitalizing is going to a church that's perhaps gotten very small and is thinking about maybe closing its doors and going in there with some new leadership and to strengthen that church and with God's help bring that back to strength and stability. So that's one way in which we could cooperate with other churches. There's actually significant church planting efforts in Michigan with the Southern Baptist Convention right now. And I think I've mentioned before, when the Southern Baptist Convention sends a church planter into a region, they look for an established Southern Baptist church that's already there and ask the leadership of that church to mentor the church planters that are coming in. So we would get an opportunity to form those sort of mentoring partnerships, and we could be part of God planting churches in our area. So that's one significant way that we could cooperate with other churches for kingdom influence. Other things would be the leadership of local associations. So Southern Baptist Convention that's a national grouping, right? But you also have state Southern Baptist Convention associations and even local ones like Detroit Metro or something like that. And by joining it, we get to go and add our voice to the leadership of those various associations, whichever ones we want to have influence in and spend time doing that. Bob Johnson from Cornerstone in Roseville was here to answer some questions for us maybe 2 months ago or something like that. One of his testimonies was that Cornerstone has been able to have a lot of influence in the associations, and Bob would love to have some other stronger churches in our area to join with him in those efforts. Another thing I just thought of is conference speakers for our local efforts. We're already engaged in local kingdom initiatives. That is, we already have the mindset that God's kingdom is not only Union Lake Baptist Church, but it's rather what God's doing in this region, and we want to be part of helping other churches to grow and mature, to strengthen other ministries. And that's why we do things like Fellowship in the Gospel, the men's conference. That's why we just started Fellowship in the Gospel Women's Conference. That's why in November we're going to do a preacher's workshop, a Simeon Trust expository workshop in November that we're hosting so that other preachers from other churches can come here. This is right in line with what we're already doing. So that's kingdom influence. We can cooperate for education. Now, I say cooperate. It's more jump on the train that they've already been doing, cooperating together, because they have the Southern Baptist Convention, that is, has a number of Bible colleges and seminaries, we also take it, not only could we send our own people, if we're part of the Southern Baptist Convention, like Dan did, went to Boyce College in Louisville and then went to the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary after that. If you're a member of a Southern Baptist church, you get to go there for 50% of the tuition cost. Would your pastor like to take some classes at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary? Yes, I would. And would I like to do that at 50% cost? Yes, I would. That's not the driving motivation for this effort, but it certainly is in my mind. I'd be lying if I said otherwise. We also cooperate in the sense of all of the scholarly writings from the professors at those seminaries, as well as the various camps and conferences that the Southern Baptist Convention puts on. I've been down to Louisville for a number of them. They are one of the associations that put on Together for the Gospel that we take our men down to every other year. So those are some educational ways in which we can cooperate with other Southern Baptist churches. Missions is a huge other one. They have two missions boards, the North American Mission Board, that is for missions obviously in North America, but also the International Mission Board, which is their missions agency, if you will, but in-house agency, sending missionaries around the globe. As Bob and Don McGee back maybe 9 months ago when he was here for a Q&A, both of them talked about the benefit of being part of the SBC in this way. If we had missionary or people that wanted to go to the mission field, if they applied to either the North American Mission Board or the International Mission Board and they were approved, there would be no need for fundraising. They would be 100% funded and be sent to the field. So no need to take 2, 3, 5 years to go from church to church trying to raise support before they could go out. So that's a huge opportunity to partner with other churches for missions efforts. Also for Mercy Ministry, we've talked about disaster relief. We think in terms of like when hurricanes hit and things like that, and we want to perhaps send some funds down for disaster relief, or we want to send a team down to help rebuild some homes and things like that. The SBC has a well-oiled machine in terms of arranging from the cooperating churches to go down on those types of trips. But they also engage in hunger relief, and they have a quite a significant ministry to at-risk children and their families, where they provide child care, they provide foster care, they help with adoption services, and many other things. So that's another way in which we could cooperate with other churches. And then finally, I say finally only in terms of my slide, there are other ways in which we could cooperate in the Southern Baptist Convention, but these are the ways I thought would be the best to highlight. One arm of the Southern Baptist Convention is called the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission. If you're familiar with Russell Moore, he has a blog, More to the Point, I think is what it's called. But if you ever watch like a news program and somebody shoves a microphone in a Southern Baptist Convention guy's face to get their take on something, it's almost always him. He used to be the assistant to the president, at, Albert Mohler, at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville, and he's now the president of this Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission. It's a significant department that he runs. They do things like send out emails like this one in my hand. I think I might have forwarded it or tweeted it, so maybe you've seen it. But it's essentially explaining Supreme Court decisions that affect religious liberty or life issues. They also send, if you're familiar with amicus briefs to the Supreme Court, amicus is Latin for friend. And so when there's a significant case in front of the Supreme Court, if you are an organization that has skin in the game with respect to that thing that's being litigated, you can send a legal brief to the court to try to argue for an outcome. And the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission regularly does that on freedom of speech and religion cases and pro-life cases and things like that. For instance, the recent case about the California law that got struck down requiring crisis pregnancy centers to tell their the people that come in that abortion's one of their options. That was a California law. Can you imagine? Crisis pregnancy center saying, like, you know, we would like you to keep the baby, but we just need you to know that abortion's one of your options. That's what the California law was requiring. The U.S. Supreme Court just struck that down as unconstitutional on a 5-4 decision. But anyway, the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission provides analysis to the church of those decisions. They send argument to help sway those decisions. And then they also provide advice and resources to their churches regarding legal issues. And we've already participated in this, as I mentioned in the past. Their language to protect the church against gay and lesbian gender lawsuits, we've already adopted that language and put it into our Constitution and voted it in, defining what we believe about marriage and things like this. So those are some big ways in which we can cooperate with other churches, and the Southern Baptist Convention provides us a venue to do that. Now, I have this in a box. I just want to make sure that we get this. Do we have to cooperate for these ministry and missions objectives? No. This is a voluntary association of churches. In other words, when we say that we want to be a cooperating church, nobody's then going to say, okay, buddy, then you have to participate with the Mercy. No, all of it's voluntary. We, as Don McGee, if you remember, like 9 months ago, he described like a banquet table. It's like, you know, if you don't like salad, then move on down the table. You know, in other words, we'll participate in the ministries and the missions that make sense to Union Lake Baptist Church. that hit us in the middle of the bullseye in terms of what we're trying to accomplish. Okay, but it also provides us with opportunities to stretch and perhaps engage in some ministries that we maybe can't pull off because of our size or something like that. Okay, so keep that in mind. This opens up doors of opportunities for ministry, but nobody pushes us through those doors. Okay? All right. Who is the SBC? This information's taken from the sheet we just passed around, okay? I was just highlighting a few things, just so, in case you're unaware of some of these stats. The Southern Baptist Convention is a fellowship of more than 47,000 churches. The total membership of the SBC is over 15 million. It includes churches that represent many different racial, ethnic, language, socioeconomic people groups. There's 42 state conventions and more than 1,100 local associations of Southern Baptist churches working together to accomplish some kind of ministry or missions objectives, okay? What about their warts? I mean, the Southern Baptist Convention, man, they got some warts. Yes, they do. We don't agree with every preacher, professor, or author in the SBC. Those were just three titles I could think of. You could insert any other, you know, sort of title you want to in there. We don't agree with everything that every Southern Baptist church leader says or writes or decides to do. That would be silly to think that 15 million SBC members, that we are all lock, stock, and barrel with them on every single issue, right? For example, a seminary president just recently, weeks ago, his name's Paige Patterson. Dr. Paige Patterson, he had an excellent reputation in the Christian community. He was part of the a stabilizing of the conservative direction of the Southern Baptist Convention. He was fired this year for mishandling rape allegations. Not that he raped anyone, but that women, two different instances where students who were women came to him and reported that they had been raped. Instead of bringing in the local authorities, he tried to handle it in-house and tried to convince the these gals to simply forgive the assaulter and not push forward with any criminal investigation and things like that. And that's a travesty, and that's wrong, and we stand completely opposed to that. And so did the Southern Baptist Convention. That's why he got fired. Okay? So I'm just saying this out loud. I don't want us to be like chickens with our heads cut off, like, oh no, there was a Southern Baptist Convention person that something happened. Like, it's a big convention, okay? And in fact, our membership in it allows us to have a voice in these kinds of things. But I'm here to tell you that the Southern Baptist Convention handled this with excellence. At their recent convention, they had panel discussions that lasted a long time with lots of different voices on how this was wrong and how it should have been handled and things like that. All you have to do is jump on the internet and you get to it in 1 second and listen to all the good voices on this. As I said here, I will say that I agree with how many leaders within the SBC have responded to this situation. Okay, so you're going to... And friends, we live in a world that we jump on the internet and crazy people say wrong things, right? So you're going to read articles and opinions about people and leaders in the Southern Baptist Convention that are wrong, that are inaccurate. But there's going to be things like this that are accurate, and SBC people did things that were wrong. But I think more the larger question is how do we respond when these things happen, right? Okay. I've already said that we don't agree with every preacher, professor, author in the SBC. However, SBC, the Southern Baptist Convention, is a huge resource to your pastors. We read Southern Baptist Convention leaders' blogs. My library is full of books and Bible commentaries written by Southern Baptist Convention professors and leaders. So I want to make you aware of that. They're a huge blessing on the ministry and life of your leaders here at Union Lake. Many SBC churches have weak theology. Maybe I should have capitalized many. Many SBC churches have weak theology. And you only need go to some of their websites to discover that quickly. However, we agree with many of the efforts of the Southern Baptist Convention to train and mature those churches. And in fact, we want to be part of that effort. Again, that's why we do the Local Kingdom Initiative work, like the conferences we host, as we do. We've talked about bad things happen. However, we agree with the response that comes in the wake of some of these things. Okay? I just have a couple more slides, and then I'm going to open up to questions. Okay? I just wanted to kind of get a bunch of info to you, and then, okay? So we want to help. Joining the SBC allows us to fulfill our mission. Our mission is to know Jesus and make him known. This isn't the only way we might fulfill our mission, of course, but we believe it's a way that can further our efforts at fulfilling our mission. Joining the SBC allows us to have kingdom influence. This is in keeping with these other conferences that I've already mentioned that we host. And then finally, most asked questions. Will the SBC have authority over us? That's a legitimate question. It's the number, like, if I had to weight these, this is the 90%. 9 out of 10 people have this question. Are we, like, sort of giving up our right to run our own church? And the answer is no, we're not giving up that right. The Southern Baptist Convention will not have authority over us to tell us what to do and things like that. Now, little asterisk, they will have, of course, some authority over us. To the extent that we want to participate in the ministries that they oversee, there are obviously some rules associated with that. And if we weren't playing by those rules, they might say, hey, this is how we handle missions. If you want to participate in the missions board, you're going to have to follow these set of regulations or something like that. But again, nobody's going to come in here and tell us how to do our budget or how to do our worship or how to do our evangelism or how to do our discipleship or how to do our Sunday school classes or any of those kinds of things. Okay? Second question, do we have to participate in SBC ministries? I've already answered that question, right? The answer is no. We could theoretically join the Southern Baptist Convention and then not cooperate with the Southern Baptist Convention in any way. I mean, that would be sort of silly to do, right? Why would we do it, right? But I'm trying to underscore this idea that all of this cooperation is voluntary, okay? So we don't have to participate in the Southern Baptist Convention ministries at all. So that said, what about our missionaries? Do all of our existing missionaries have to move into the International Mission Board or the North American Mission Board? The answer is no. We can support missionaries outside of the Southern Baptist Convention and support missionaries within the Southern Baptist Convention as much or as little as we choose to do as a church. Okay? And then third, will we have to give them money? The short answer is no. There's no requirement that we give them any money. That said, we don't want to simply be takers. We want to be a church that truly cooperates with other churches for ministry. And so on a yearly basis, when we do our budget, we'll have to determine how much we want to send. So if we decide that we want to get more involved in the missions in the missions efforts of the Southern Baptist Convention, we might as a church decide to start to send some mission support and those sorts of things. It's totally up to us as a church. Okay? All right, so I think that was my last slide. So that's it. That's all I got. So now, questions. I'll just leave that one up because maybe that'll help you remember different topics. What questions do you have? Yeah, Larry. Larry, hold on. She's going to give you a microphone.
Would it be an advantage for us to move some of our missionaries into that? Would it advantage them where they would not have to go out to try to get support?
That's a great question. the missionaries, though, make those decisions themselves. Yeah. So in other words, if somebody's with ABWE or Baptist Mid-Missions or something like that, you know, we can certainly tell them about us, that we have joined the Southern Baptist Convention, but it would have to be up to them to decide to change their missions board.
Okay, I have another question.
Yeah, they'd have to be a member of a, that's a good point. They'd have to be a member of a Southern Baptist church, whether our church or another church,
yes,
to join the International Missions Board or the North American Missions Board.
One other question. How are their leadership picked, or how do they become the
They're
leaders?
Voted every year at the convention.
So we would have a part of that, right?
1 year? Oh, 2 year? I'm sorry, every other year, 2 years.
So we would have a part of voting.
That's right. That's right, Larry. So we would send delegates to the convention if we so. Many churches don't send delegates, but we could send delegates to the national convention and have a voice in picking. They just elected what we think is an excellent president in J.D. Greer. Yeah.
So we would actually have a part to. In theory, someone from our church could become the president.
Larry, you could be the next Southern Baptist Convention president. I mean, we would have to join first. But then, yeah, right.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Thanks, Larry. Somebody back here? Karen? Yeah.
When you were talking about supporting,
yep.
which I'm in agreement with,
mm-hmm.
would it fall under the missionary category on the budget?
I
guess it doesn't matter.
Yeah,
I was just curious.
If we were sending it strictly for missions, I suppose, my guess is that we'll probably come up with a more general support that we can tell them what to do with the money or not.
Okay.
So we can send in an amount and have them put it where they think they need it most, or we can say, hey, we want this for Mercy Ministry, or we want this for education, or whatever, and they'll do it. Yeah. Anybody else? Come on, we got like 10, 12 minutes. Don't make me like start singing up here or something, okay? Yeah. So Pierre, then Chrissy. Chrissy, then Pierre.
So as far as what things we participate in, mm-hmm. is that going to be an elder decision? Like, are you guys going to decide what? Okay.
Yeah, ultimately, yes, but as we try to do, we try to have lots of discussions with the church family and input and, you know, come to those decisions as a family.
So it would be something that we know about?
Oh,
more.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, as I think you've come to know, we don't do anything in secret here. We try to be very transparent about ministry objectives and things like that. Yeah, great question.
It's really more like a comment than a question.
You want to be the Southern Baptist Convention president as well? Because we can't split the church over who wants to be. I'm just kidding.
After him.
Yeah.
So, we are a Baptist church, and in the world, I was in France, and they consider Baptists as a sect.
As a sect?
Right. Uh-huh. And the world, when they hear Baptist, sometimes they associate us with the worst Baptist church ever that really go do crazy things. But we all
go to funerals and picketing
and all of that. So,
yeah.
But we still consider ourselves Baptists, and we're not ashamed to tell ourselves we're Baptists. So
right.
The same reason when we join an SBC and we hear things happening, and especially in the political world, and they consider, okay, you know, the extreme religious, you know, whatever, right? Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean that it's a hindrance. It's something that we should really be afraid of associating
yeah.
ourselves with a group like this. And this is why we have the way that I think the Southern Baptist Church recruit or accept churches and give us, and that's a sign for us that we're going to have our freedom, is that when we look at those who join, they are very diverse.
That's an excellent point.
And
did you hear that? He said the churches in the SBC are very diverse, right? So in good ways and bad ways.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's why we have some of them have poor theology, because they don't control the church. They don't
that's
enforce
right.
anything.
That's right.
So that's also a sign, even though we will wish that everybody has the same theology as us, of course. But
that said, let me just interject. There is a statement of faith, the Baptist faith and message, right? That the Southern Baptist Convention has, and we've read it, and we in fact considered it as a potential for us to adopt when we're looking at a new statement of faith, and we agree with that statement of faith. So potentially, a church could say we are departing from a historic Christian doctrine, and at that point, the SBC would expel them from the Southern Baptist Convention, right? So. Other than that, there's a lot of weak theology churches but that still hold to that statement of faith. Yeah.
So my point here is to close is this,
yeah.
is that it's kind of like taking a train to a destination. In that train, you will find many travelers. That doesn't mean that if the train has a bad reputation, that is, everybody in the train is wrong or whatever.
Yeah.
You're just taking the same train. So,
yeah, that's good. I'll just insert another thing. One of the things that your pastors are concerned about is the reputation of this church. And we've been doing a lot of ministry inside the church and outside the church to build up our reputation, not so that we can look awesome, but so that Jesus can look awesome in this community. We wouldn't suggest joining the Southern Baptist Convention if that was going to take us in another direction. And even if we did join the Southern Baptist Convention, if in 3 or 6 months the SBC took a hard left turn on something that affected our reputation, we would simply remove ourselves from that association, right? So the SBC will serve us. We won't serve it in that way, right? Yeah.
Just piggybacking on some of the things that Pierre said, there have been Bible-believing Baptist churches that because of some Baptist churches and the way they've maybe operated felt like just having the word Baptist in their name was a hindrance to bringing people in. And
right.
So they've changed their name to, so-and-so Bible church or
yep.
community church or whatever.
Right.
Are all of the churches within the Southern Baptist Convention, are they, quote, Baptist churches? Or if somebody's a Bible church, could they still associate?
That's a great question. I'm not sure I can answer it 100%. I could say this. On this sheet, and they produced this, okay? So it says on here that there are, see where it says general information, if you got right at the top? It says the Southern Baptist Convention is a fellowship of over 47,000 Baptist churches scattered across, et cetera, right? So that's their own documentation. That said, I know that Lakes, where Don McGee and Tom Nestor are, they voted as a church to join the Southern Baptist Convention and then at the same time change their name to Lakes Bible Church, removing the Baptist church and inserting Bible. So it must be okay because they're part of the SBC.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Or had Baptist in the name at all?
Yeah, I was part of the Orchard Church, Traverse City, Michigan, and Crossing Community Church in Louisville, which is now Anchor Bible Church, still SBC.
So yeah. In case you can't hear that, Dan just said he's been part of 3 different churches that are in the SBC that don't have Baptist in the name. And in fact, the new president, I think his church doesn't have it in the name either. Isn't it like the something, the gathering, or the summit? Something like, yeah. So.
Okay.
But we would say they're Baptistic.
Sure.
In the sense that their practice is as a Baptist church. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Thanks. And then the other thing I wanted to mention is really more of a comment than a question. Jeff and I have talked about this, but Al Mohler, who's the president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, if you're not already aware of it, he has a podcast called The Briefing, and it's basically a daily, it's about 20 minutes, but it's an analysis of today's sort of news and current events from a Christian worldview. It's excellent. It's really a great resource if you want to.
I don't know anything better.
It's just really it's really a great way to sort of look at what's going on in the world today, and how should I look at this from a Christian perspective? Anyway, just thought I'd throw that out.
Yeah, The Briefing, Albert Mohler.
Yeah, The Briefing.
It's a podcast. It's like a little. You can either listen to it audio or it might be video, too. But anyway, it's just, is it 15 minutes, 10 minutes? How long? 20 minutes long? 25 we hear. Okay, it's keep going up. But anyway, it's a daily podcast, and it is excellent from a Christian perspective. Unlike, I don't know if I should say this or not, unlike supposed Christian radio that we listen to and the supposed Christian perspective that we hear on the radio, which is unhelpful in a lot of ways, this is excellent. That's why we want to join something like this in part. Yeah. Other questions? You've used all your words, Pierre.
No, it's just to piggyback on quickly. I was in Haiti with Cliff, I think when Nelson Mandela passed away, and it was helpful because we were listening, we were receiving a briefing from another association of churches who was kind of like taking a totally different perspective than what Al Mohler presented, and that was very helpful while we were in Haiti to hear.
Yeah, good. Other questions? Anything at all? Seriously, we're family. We're in the living room. You're sitting on my couch. What do you want to know? Is this being taped? Okay, a couple people asked. Anything at all? Well, that's this slide, right? So James just said, what was the reason? Incidentally, I sent out a letter, a two-page letter, describing this. If you did not get a copy of that letter, I'm happy to make sure that you did. We tried to get it to everybody, but we might have. Yeah. Yeah. We are an independent church, right? Yep. All glory to God. Yeah, that's right. Cooperation? That's right. Yeah. Yeah. So we've got another candidate right here in James. So James is saying we want to advance in our reputation and our leadership of other churches in the community, and that's why we're doing it.
Yeah.
God has, right? He gets the glory. Right. Yeah, we have in his grace. Yeah. Other questions? Just about out of time. Have one still on the tip of your tongue? Okay. If you haven't had all your questions answered, shoot me an email or give me a call. I'd love to sit down over a cup of coffee, talk about these things some more. Yeah. It hasn't been Lori just asked, when would we vote on this? It hasn't been scheduled. As elders, we were thinking in the fall, but we wanted to have lots of opportunities for these kinds of venues and questions. We don't want to do this. If there's a group within the church that's afraid of this vote, doesn't have their questions answered, we don't like to move forward like that. We like to employ the Nestor rule, which means have as many meetings and Q&A sessions until the church is actually agitated by those Q&A sessions because their questions are so answered that they're scheduling the vote in front of us. So we just want to make sure everybody's on the same page, everybody has their questions answered, and so that we maintain unity in the church, which is fragile, right? And to God's glory. So, good. Peter, you want to close us in prayer? Amen. Thank you.